Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the House of Armageddon. Live on the phone with me this evening, I have the horror scenes, Rude Ron. Rude, what's up, brother?
Privyet, audiencia. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm glad you called in tonight. We got some things in store for everybody. You have myself, Armageddon Ed. You got Rude Ron from the horror scene calling in this evening. We'll have another partner of crime of ours, Brian Enright, who will be talking about his new movie, Cuddles. And my partner in crime from Walking Dead Films, Jason Kerner, should be calling in. So, Ron, get us started. Tell us about the news. What's up, brother?
Well, I want to start off by saying that happy Ira Einhorn killing my girlfriend, stuffing her in the trunk, Earth Day. As those who do not know what Earth Day is, it was created by that piece of shit Ira Einhorn who killed his girlfriend, stuffed her in the trunk, fled to Europe, and thank God there was one man from Philadelphia, nonetheless, who stood up for the right thing and got that piece of shit expedited back over here, and they finally were able to convict him and throw him into prison. But being that it is Earth Day, whatever the hell that means, there's usually a celebration with these half-wits, and liberalism is a mental disorder, moronic half-wits of Hollywood. And of course, being that our poster child of the New World Order in the computer world, Mr. Bill Gates, who owns MSN, they have two interesting articles, and crazy enough, they're both side by side. If you go to MSN.com, and if you scroll through the related stories, you will see one to the left. You have a picture of that ugly cunt, Julia Roberts, and it says, the biggest environmental advocates in Hollywood, which is sponsored by Wonderwall, whoever the hell they are. And then you have, to the right, you have famous people who drive eco-conscious cars, which is a Auto Trader California story that was posted on MSN.com. Armageddon, which one do you think we should start with first, the cars or the mentally disordered people?
I don't, well, you know, we love mentally disordered people here on the House of Armageddon. But one thing I do want to get back to is Julia Roberts. I don't know if I agree with her politics. I really don't even know what her politics are. I can only assume from the fact that she's an actress in Hollywood. But I'm not going to lie, I did beat it to her a couple times in the 90s.
I did too. In the 90s. In the 2000s.
Pretty Woman and Sleeping with the Enemy, circa Julia Roberts.
Yeah, but that was about it, though, wasn't it? And then she got with that Travis Tritt, and then
I don't think she was with Travis Tritt. Wasn't she with that guy with the big Adam's apple and the crazy hair?
No. Who is that? That's, he sings, I'll love you till the end, amen. Right? He sings that song. What the hell is his
name? I don't know. I just remember they used Lyle Love It. Lyle Love It.
Lyle Love It. That's.
Yeah. Very different.
Yeah, and then she got ugly after that, right?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when she got ugly, nor do I really know that she's ugly. I just know that back in the 90s, Pretty Woman, Sleeping with the Enemy, that's circa, she was hot. She was young and hot. I was totally
she
a fan of her appearance-wise. I mean, if you look at the body she had on her in Pretty Woman, when she's wearing those shorts with, like, the, what do they call those? Things go up over your shoulders. Suspenders.
Oh, wow.
She had, like, a suspenders and, like, a midriff t-shirt.
Yeah, the suspenders.
That shit was hot, bro.
When she was dressed like the hooker, though.
Yeah, no. When she was dressed, totally dressed like a hooker. Absolutely.
Yeah. She should just dress like that from now on.
Yeah, well, she should get dressed like that for now, for all I care. But tell me about crazy people from Hollywood. Tell me about them.
Okay, so if you click on the article on the left, you come to the entertainment section, and you come to, and the headline is Leonardo DiCaprio, Natalie Portman, who needs every inch of my erectile penis inside of her.
Wow.
Especially
lucky girl, Ron.
Lucky
girl.
Lucky her. But she will not be my wife. We all know who eventually will be my wife. Natalie Portman and More of the Greenest Celebrities is the headline of the article. And if you scroll through, the first one is Ed Norton. And it says here, and this slight little pillage underneath, it says, in 2003, Ed Norton teamed up with BP, Beyond Petroleum. Now, this was prior to the leak in the Gulf of Mexico. So in 2003, Ed Norton teamed up with BP to develop Solar Neighbors program to supply solar panels to low-income families in Los Angeles. In 2005, I don't think it worked out too well. Last time I checked, Los Angeles is still a shithole, and I haven't seen any solar panels on any ghettos last time I seen. So it sounds like it was just a bunch of do-gooders who try to do good for themselves, right? As Savage always says.
I know nothing about.
where was he when the pipe blew up in the Gulf of Mexico when Beyond Petroleum was? He wasn't spoken out about it.
He should have been down there like rubbing palm olive on ducks and sea life, like Kevin Costner was. That's where he should have been, right?
Was that what Kevin Costner was doing?
I don't know. That's funny. He had some kind of device that was supposed to clean
the
water.
I didn't see that other loser down there. Who's the other actor that's held up as like this guru?
Doesn't Sean Penn always do stuff like that?
That's exactly who the fuck I was thinking of.
I still think one of the most classic pictures I ever saw was, I don't know why, I don't know how, but like Sean Penn's walking around New Orleans after Katrina with like a shotgun. It's like 3 feet
really?
Of water, and he's walking around with a shotgun. Yeah, Google it.
I remember when he was in the canoe trying to rescue people. I saw that picture, but I never saw the one with him with a shotgun.
Unless it was Photoshop, I'm almost positive I saw it or I dreamed it. But no, I mean,
what an idiot!
If you have a lot of money, right, and you want to do things like this to help people, well, then I'm all for it. Go out and help people, man. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but doing it, is he really genuine? Is Sean Penn really genuine? Because his brother Chris was the total opposite of him.
Oh, I don't know. I do know that other than, what was that movie he made for Clint Eastwood? Mystic River. Other than Mystic River and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I can only name a handful of Sean Penn movies that I like. But Chris Penn, I pretty much liked every movie he was in. Now, granted, he was in a lot of shitty serial killer films. Dude was in the greatest movie of all time, True Romance, with Christian Slater.
Yes,
dude was in Footloose. Dude was in Reservoir Dogs.
Yes,
so,
he was.
I mean, people would probably disagree and say Sean Penn was the better Penn brother, but I've always been partial to Chris Penn's work.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. But you never saw Chris Penn out there in canoes and, over in that area that had the fucking tsunami. You didn't see him over there with that shit.
Maybe
he was
there.
He
was
all about hookers
and his high profile.
Coke.
Well,
and that's what I admire
that.
About him, because he stuck
you
true
might
to
be
himself.
You might be getting him confused with one of those Baldwin brothers. It was one of those Baldwin brothers that was all into that. Once again, allegedly, I don't
Stephen
know. I wasn't
Baldwin,
there.
Right?
I don't know. Well, whoever the older one is, isn't it Daniel Baldwin? Wasn't he the one that was, like, fighting with cops in, like, a New York hotel room, and he had, like, coke and hookers, allegedly? I don't know. I wasn't
there.
Yeah,
he had to go on celebrity rehab.
No, I never saw that. It was, like, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, Yeah, he had to go to, like, a detox before he could even go on the show.
Bro, let's be quite truthful. There's nothing better than when an entertainer of some kind melts down. I love watching people that are put up on these pedestals melt down. There's absolutely nothing better than that. Nothing on earth better than that.
It is great. It is great to watch them.
Like watching like
how
Britney
the mighty
Spears,
have fallen.
Like, yeah, watch like Britney Spears like shave her head, or like you know, just any of these maniacs doing things that maniacs do. I think when your time's up,
the whole Randy Quaid meltdown.
that guy's fucking awesome. He's like having sex with his wife, and she's like wearing masks of like who else she's wearing a mask of?
I know, of Obama and shit.
I don't know. I think it was Obama. I forget who she was wearing
a mask
of.
I think it was.
I think it was like George Bush or something.
No,
I think
it was the president.
I don't know. Either way, it's fucking crazy, and I love crazy. Like I have the corner market on crazy. I love crazy. Yeah, that's good stuff. I love it. Probably driving an eco-conscious car for Earth Day, just for you, Ron.
That would be great. You know, that would be great.
So anyway, let me give a couple shout-outs here. I'd like to thank everybody for listening this evening. We haven't been on in about 6 weeks. As a matter of fact, Ron, were you on the last time that I was stuck doing a snow detail? But Kerner hosted the show. Bro, he got call-ins from like Ernie O'Donnell, one of the comic book men, Robert Bruce.
I was on that show. Yes.
Yeah, you.
I was on for the
like
last hour because I was actually, for those who don't know, I'm actually in the South right now, and I'm actually helping a friend of mine with his house, and we were actually laying a hardwood floor that day. And then I remembered it was the show. I called in. I texted you, and you told me to call in. I called in, and then Kerner was hosting, and we were talking to some broad. I can't think of her name. I probably would
Heidi.
Her most
Heidi,
her.
Heidi Tellers. And
yeah,
then there was another lady
that
called in also. I think Heidi was like his co-host. But either way, they had a great show.
She was.
I listened back to it. It was an awesome show. Everybody did a great job on it. I was just sorry that I was stuck at work and I actually couldn't be involved. So I'd like to give a couple shout-outs at this time. As always, I'd like to give a shout-out to the boys at the horror scene, Big D, The Truth, and, of course, you, Rude Ron. So I'd like to thank you guys for everything you do for independent horror, especially in New York, New Jersey, PA. I'd like to give a shout-out to my main man, Brian Enright, who will be calling in sometime this evening. That might even be him texting me now. I do not know. I'll check and see in just a minute. I'd like to give a call-out to the kid, Lockney. I don't know where he's at tonight. I heard he started a new job in Atlantic City. Gene Snitsky, Jay Lee, Joel Ruda, Sanjay, Damien, Kate, everybody else out of Walking Dead Films. We'll be hearing from the real Jay Kerner in just a little bit. Well, we got somebody calling in. Let's see who we got here. Hello, caller. Who's calling in this evening?
Hello, Ed McKeever. It's Brian Enright.
Brian Enright in the house.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, brother? Are you Rude Ron, Brian Enright. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, Ron, what's up, man?
What's up, my fellow Kavush brother? How you Kazavitching over there?
I'm doing great. How was your Passover?
It was Shavuizel.
Yeah, okay.
And that's entertaining for Yiddish, for those who don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It was. It was actually good. I had a very nice Passover. I enjoyed I had a little matzah and some grape jelly. But I had the real homemade grape jelly, for those who don't know. You can actually take the grape, mush it down, add a little sugar, a little red wine, little Manischewitz, for those who don't know, and you have a little, I had a little Passover party.
Nice. Well, you're a bigger man for drinking Manischewitz.
That's right.
You guys are living the highlight. That's why I love you too. So we got my main man, Brian Enright, here on the phone. We got Rude Ron on the phone, and I think what everybody really wants to talk about and hear about is what's up with Cuddles, brother. I saw a Facebook message. I heard hand-delivered to the trauma offices. Have you heard any word? Are we going to see you? Can you break it on the show? Are we going to see Cuddles at Trauma Dance?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know necessarily. I cannot give that information away yet. But I'm hoping to hear something soon. From what I hear, though, from the grapevine, I hear Lloyd Kaufman was very impressed. He actually watched Cuddles. So.
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe
we could do like the trauma team does. Like, you know, they're not invited to cons or cans, however it is you say it. So they show up there anyway. So let's say trauma dance doesn't allow Cuddles in, right? We show up with Cuddles and Armageddon Ed and the whole cast of characters, and we screen it like right on the side of the building with a projector.
We should.
Get crazy.
Oh,
I'll
do
it.
We definitely should. Now, that's saying if we don't get in.
I say we fucking do it, and we do it big, and we do a whole – we let them know that were coming, like some Genghis Khan type shit. Like, we're going to be there. This is what's going to happen on the side. And we make it like the real party's going to be outside in the parking lot. Fuck the faggot shit on the inside. Come party for free with the cast of
colors. You are so rude, Ron, and Rude Ron on the end of the house.
And really hang out with some real celebrities. How about we do that?
Who's a real celebrity? Because I got to tell you something. One, I have no problem with anybody. Love everyone, especially everyone that's involved with Troma. The Troma folks have always been great to me, and I got to tell you, they have some classy people that work with them. Whether you like their stuff or not, they've always been cool with me. I think that they're going to be showing Brian's film during Troma Dance. And if they don't, I don't want to go there and start a war, but we are going to go there and promote our boy, because that's what we do.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Then that's an oxymoron. This is what I'm talking about. If they ain't going to promote his show, if they're not going to promote the movie or they're not going to show the movie, then we show up there and we show the movie. And we show it in fashion. Because the difference between everybody else is we got to look good doing it. So we show it in fashion.
All right.
We get some strippers. Maybe we get a little tattoo tent. And I'm telling you, we have a ball.
A tattoo tent? Strippers in a tattoo tent?
I think that's more in the budget than I had for cuddles. Oh, man.
Man.
Brian, being a guy in the know, what new developments do we have? What can we talk about? Once Cuddles comes out and everyone salutes it and thinks it's like the next big thing, what are we going to do from there? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What are you about? What's going on?
Well, what's happening, it's going to be a lot of word of mouth. The people that I have working with me are all people just like ourselves that have their foot in the industry, but they want to make a name for themselves, with making their own movie. So I have a team. They're all ready. They're all happy. They're all supportive. The cast is very supportive. And from here on, we're going to do a Kickstarter, go around, kind of promote it. I'm going to actually show the movie once I enter into a few film conventions, of course, after Troma. Another thing is that we actually have a band writing all these 80s hair metal songs. We just released one of the songs, Who's Gonna Cuddle Me When I'm Dead, on Facebook and SoundCloud. So I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen to that.
What's the name of that band? I did. Good stuff. What's the name of that? They call us Death, right?
No, this is a different band. This is me on vocals, Mike Marino, who plays... Huh? Oh, this is... we have no name for it yet.
Oh, this is actually your band.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you have me on vocals. You have Mike Marino, who plays Cuddles. He's lead guitarist. His brother, Andy, is playing rhythm guitar and also leads as well. Mike was also switching back and forth with guitar and bass. The assistant... director of photography, Joe DeFia, was actually playing the drums for this.
I thought it was the same band, just a different lineup.
No. No, well, I mean, they're all in the same band. The only ones that are included in this recording that we made was me and the cinematographer, Joe. So,
got it.
We have keys that we're going to add on to the master track soon once we go back into recording, and we're going to record a couple other songs as well. Same kind of style with the Poison, Twisted Sister type, Megadeth and Iron Maiden. We're going for that kind of sound. And but Cuddles is going to have a whole soundtrack once we get that feature-length film going. They're going to have a whole soundtrack that we're going to make for it. The composer I have, Chad Moser, is wonderful. He had a lot of backup tracks, and he's very down into like the 80s synthesizer and Ed, as you know, you saw the movie, you know, before everyone else did, you got to hear a lot of that John Carpenter synth.
And it is really awesome. I think people are really going to respond to it, man. I think you got something here. I think you really got something. I think it's going to be awesome.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. And a lot of hard work went into that. And it's good hearing it from someone. Because I haven't shown a lot of people yet.
I really enjoy it, bro.
Thanks, man. I have that like Akira Kurosawa thing where like I'm making movies, but I'm never going to be happy with the final product, which is fine.
Yeah.
I guess it happens to everyone who directs a movie. But it's definitely
welcome
to
my tortured world, bro.
You know what it is? Even if your movie bombs and it sucks, it's all about how you promote it, and it's all about word of mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
I've seen
the
some
experience.
Bad movies that have put asses in seats, bro.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
I'm not saying that's the case for your film. I've seen great movies that couldn't put anybody in a seat.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's just the way it
is. I mean,
look,
there's absolutely no respect for Death Wish 3. And that's sacrilege. It's sacrilege. We always go back to that.
Yeah.
So,
we'll have
on the line at this time Brian Enright, director of Cuddles. You can check him out on IMDb, or you can check him out on Facebook. You spell Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, Enright, E-N-R-I-G-H-T. Brian, you have a website set up for Cuddles yet?
There is one coming soon, actually. Look forward to it in the summertime. So, but yeah, the website will be announced. Everyone's going to see it on Facebook. You know, everyone from the Atlantic Scary Walking Dead Films family is going to see it, and I'm sure that we'll all promote it.
Man.
You know, we'll definitely have the clowns. By the way, how did you like the clown segment? I know that Enoch really wanted to get into it, but we have a clown segment.
I like the clown segment. I think it's great. I just think it might be confusing. You get what I'm saying? To people who are watching.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want to ruin it too much for anybody. You and I'll talk offline. But I think it's great.
Absolutely.
I think it's great. Yeah. I think more like a companion piece than actually attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Would probably make more sense when you do the feature.
Oh, yeah. What I did was when I put this together, I put it as kind of like a blueprint. Because I know that, you know, a trailer, they try to show everything, and it's, you know, at the same time, I'm trying to make a story within the trailer and kind of,
yeah.
you know, build relationships with the audience and the characters on screen. You know, such as the clown, such as the main girl, Jamie, who's played by Lauren DeLeon, her and her younger brother, who is Charlie, who's played by Shane Krizwicki, their relationship. It's a lot of things I wanted to film, like the scene with the mother, when she's talking to the mother, I was actually going to have the actress who was ready for it at the time do the mother, like, walking around in, like, you know, the 1990s, like, early 1990s, like, kitchen on the mm-hmm. phone with the cord and just, you know, kind of, like, pan up and make it look
very cool.
very Halloween-ish. But, you know, I just didn't have the time with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fortunately got to talk to Ryan Scott Weber over at Monster Mania. And I was telling him about it because he was really interested. As soon as I saw him, he was just like, yo, man, what's going on with Cuddles? And I'm like, this is what's happening. You know, I have all this footage, and I feel like I need to do more, but, you know, I have a deadline. He said to me, just get it done. Just go edit it. Edit whatever you have. Get it done. He says, you can always work on stuff later, but get it done. So, you know,
That's true.
I went to New York.
That's true.
You know, that's what it is.
Yeah,
so,
I got to tell you one thing. One of the elements I liked about your film is, and we know Ryan Scott Weber is a good friend of ours here at the show. Ryan's a good dude. I'd like to have him on again in the future. But one thing I do want to say, you have some eye candy in your film. You got a couple good-looking young ladies in there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let me just tell you something about getting women for your movies. It is the hardest fucking thing anyone ever has to do when they're putting together a no-budget movie to find females. Everyone wants to get paid, and it's like finding the females who are, you know, just want to do it for the experience and everything. So it was a little hard getting the females. I had one of the lead actresses drop out on me after 5 weeks of waiting to do her scenes. But then luckily my fiance, Victoria Enright, stepped up to the role, and the girl who played Jamie was originally a girl who played my fiance's part, Nancy. So after the girl left, I went in and I talked to Lauren DeLeon, and I said, listen, do you want the lead role? And she looked at me and she's like, I don't know. And I told her, I don't know. It's not something you say in this industry. It's either yes, I want the lead role, or no, thank you. I'm just like, do you want it? And she's like, yes. I'm like, all right, let's shoot this. So, you know, we brought her outside, and that was the day we had Baron Craze, the host of Baron's Crypt, he was there doing his scene, and we got to shoot the scene with the two actresses who are you know, had to like learn different lines that on that day. But a lot of it was for word of mouth. When we shot at the Brighton Bar, I was able to recruit another female, Megan, who was the blonde girl in the very beginning of the movie, and you see her later on through a wonderful cemetery chase scene. And but she was awesome to work with, and yeah, I mean, just finding the females was a little tough, but once we found them, we found them.
Well, we don't want to give too much away, but I think people are really going to enjoy it. It's going to be coming out soon, hopefully at Troma Dance. Which, what is the weekend of Troma Dance? When is it, June? When is it? I forget.
They haven't announced it yet. I've been on that website like crazy and checking my email, seeing what's going on, seeing if they reviewed the movies or anything like that. But
gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, it should be in the summertime. I know last year they had it in the summertime, and hopefully that won't change, because summertime in New York with a whole group of people is pretty exciting.
That's true. Well, everybody here on the radio at this time, we have Brian Enright, director of Cuddles. All right, Brian, at this time we're going to shift gears. You're welcome to hang out on the phone as long as you like here, your family here on the House of Armageddon. Rude Ron.
Absolutely.
Rude Ron.
Gentlemen, Brian, you didn't call in yet, but me and Eddie were talking in the beginning, and I'm sure that you heard us within conversation. We were talking about Randy Quaid and how he went nuts. It was a Rupert Murdoch mask that his wife was wearing when he was banging her in the video, and he was claiming that he was being stalked by the Star Whackers, who he claimed killed Carradine and Heath Ledger.
Yes.
Who
I watched
also,
that
about this, Brian?
Entire video.
You watched the whole video? All right, listen, I haven't watched the whole video. I've only seen like screenshots. When he's having sex with his wife, like, do you actually see it, or is it simulated?
No, it's everything that you could possibly fear.
Oh God, sounds disgusting.
Wow.
I think they recreated this scene from Independence Day where he was probed, but, you know, without the aliens.
Got it.
Something to look forward to.
Wow.
That's really creepy. For those of you who are listening,
you know, he was nominated
for
Best Actor in The Last Detail.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actor in Supporting Role in 1973's The Last Detail.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either until I was reading this. Until I read this. Yeah.
He didn't win.
Wow.
Just another Oscar snub, just like Charles Bronson.
And how the mighty have fallen, though. But isn't the Star Whackers... Now... Here's what I think is crazy, and here's why I think his claimed conspiracy is true. Because there have been a lot of celebrities that have been killed mysteriously.
Yeah,
Brittany
but
Murphy,
bro, there's been a lot of everybody
the guy from
that's been
Fast
killed.
And the Furious. Now, hold on.
Flames brothers,
now, he claims,
window washers.
He claims that these people were stalking him, right? Now, wasn't one of the men of all men, Steve McQueen, didn't he take heat to himself and travel around in his convertible waiting for one of these people that were going around supposedly stalking people?
I heard a story that when Manson got all crazy and started killing people, and they didn't know it was Manson yet, they didn't know it was the family, all the actors were like running from Hollywood after Sharon Tate got killed. And I heard Steve McQueen went out and bought a gun, went out and bought a convertible, and drove up and down all the streets in Hollywood just hoping that they would come after him.
Now,
Steve McQueen is a unique
type
of man, bro.
Do you not think that has not come into fruition in the year 2013, 14?
Who's riding around with a gun and a convertible? Did you see Tom Hanks doing that?
Well, nobody, but I'm saying the Star Whackers. If it started then, right?
I want to see that movie. I want to see Tom Hanks riding around in a convertible versus a cult. Riding through Hollywood fighting a cult. I want to see that. I want to see like who's the nicest actor out there? Like, who's a guy who's painfully nice?
I don't know.
Ian McKellen. Yeah, I want to see
McKellen.
I would probably say Tom Hanks.
Ryan Gosling.
Probably...
I want to see Ryan Gosling.
Wow.
One of them Prius driving faggots, Ryan Gosling.
Dude,
he's a horrible actor.
You're going to offend people there, Rude Ron. Come on, come on. Church it up a little.
Wait, hold on.
So,
Bradley Cooper
David
Beckham
capable of playing,
and Ryan
Gosling,
they all drive Priuses. And somebody should let them know that Priuses still take gasoline, in case they just didn't know that.
I don't know anything about a Prius. I don't think
they
I would fit in
gasoline.
A Prius. Yeah, I know, but I don't think I'd fit in one, so I know nothing about it.
I wouldn't either.
But let's get back to this. Okay. Tom Hanks convertible gun versus Colt. I want to see it.
Why Tom Hanks is, I think he's a little old for that part, though, isn't he?
Well,
you
know why?
Because
Tom Hanks is, unlike Steve McQueen, there's nothing physically imposing about Tom Hanks. I mean, really, do you think Tom Hanks can kick anybody's ass? Whose ass is Tom Hanks kicking?
The
not
Nazi
mine,
army.
I know that.
Yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact,
would you say,
I really can't. And I'm saying,
who do you think
would
win a fight? Ben Affleck or Tom Hanks?
Bro, Ben Affleck's going to rip Tom Hanks apart.
Okay, so who would win in a fight, Ryan Gosling or Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck, surely, because he's much larger in stature.
So then Ryan Gosling. So now, who do we pick to fight, Ryan Gosling or Tom Hanks in a fight?
Are they going to ball their fist, or are they just going to slap each other?
I doubt you would even get one fist thrown at any of them.
I don't know. I don't want to put down Ryan Gosling. There's something about him that makes me think that he's the kind of guy that might throw down a little bit. I don't think he's a very big guy, though. Not that size has
anything. I mean, he was okay in Drive. I mean, I like the movie Drive.
The movie Drive was good. The last 10 minutes falls apart. Let's be quite true. The last 10 minutes of Drive falls apart. Brian, what do you think?
I love Drive.
he's like, I'm not getting involved in this. Assholes.
No, here's the thing. Like, Ryan Gosling, like, his movies have stepped up. Like, in the beginning, he was, like, the pretty boy and everything, but I think once him and Nicholas Winding Refn, like, teamed up and did Drive and Only God Forgives, which I actually liked that movie. I thought, you know, Ryan came into his own with the whole, like, I'm going to stare at you before I kill you.
See, I think the Only God Forgives was, like, painful to watch. Like, it was just so slow. I don't remember the end. I think
I
fell asleep.
Yeah, but the fight scenes were good.
I mean, like, you compare that to, like, John Wick, and John Wick is, like, way better.
Bro, John Wick is, I don't know, what do you think, Brian? I think a superior film.
I like John Wick
a lot. I mean,
John Wick's like a
when
revenge
he was blasted,
film. I like
when
it.
He was, the kill scenes are fucking great, bro.
And wait,
second,
and I haven't seen John
was, like,
Wick in a while.
Blasting these
didn't he just go nuts?
Like, it was,
but didn't he go nuts? All they did was, like, steal his car, right? And, like, kidnap his dog.
They killed the dog that was a gift from his dead wife.
That's right.
Yeah.
They kill the dog and they fuck up his Mustang. And, like, how many people die in that movie?
Like, everybody.
He just blast everybody in the face with a fucking pistol. Everyone just gets shot in the head.
Great.
That is awesome. Well, this time I'm going to pick up. We got a caller on the line.
Uh-oh.
Caller, who you got?
Hey, what's going on, you fucking dildos?
Hey!
Oh,
the real Jay Kerner. What's up, brother?
What's going on, fellas?
You're on the phone with this time with Rude Ron from the horror scene, Brian Enright of Cuddles, and the dead ghost of Steve McQueen, who will still kick the shit out of Ryan Gosling, Tom Hanks, and Ben Affleck.
Yep.
I agree.
I agree, too.
It's true. Steve McQueen's corpse would skull fuck them all.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. I am with that. I'm with that 100% because he was, what was it, the king of cool, they said? And you know what? It hasn't changed. He's been cast now for, 30 years he's been gone?
Oh,
but
yeah.
The guy
like
is
around
a
1980, 81.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to say, I heard a really cool story. Chad McQueen is his son. Remember he played Dutch in The Karate Kid?
Yeah.
The blonde-haired kid? All right. well, he was dyed blonde, whatever, but he was there, and he said that when he was, like, just a kid, like a little kid, I forget, I heard this on, like a talk show or documentary or something, that his dad used to have, like, parties and invite over nothing but, like, beautiful, like, models and, like, penthouse pets, and he'd be, like, a 10-year-old kid hanging out in the hot tub with, like, with his old man, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. It's fucking awesome. Imagine
oh, it is
living
awesome.
That life, bro. Imagine living that life.
Chad McQueen also learned how to drive a fucking Ferrari. I think it was a Ferrari or it was a Lotus when he was like 10 years old. His old man used to take him to the track and drive this fucking Lotus around. And he was talking in an interview. He had up to, he's 10 years old, behind the wheel, going 125 miles an hour. How insane is that? But
that's
cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
it
awesome.
Is awesome.
See, you know what, the sad thing is now people would call that child abuse. You'd have to be worried about telling people that you let your kid drive a car at 120
yeah,
miles an hour. The fuck is wrong with
I
our
can't.
World?
I, you know what, I just did a post, and, you know, between everybody being fucking on everybody's business, keeping up with the Joneses, and everybody has to be, you know, one-up everybody, I just did a post on fucking Facebook. There was a picture Ed and I took, Armageddon Ed and I took next to one of the coolest looking TVs ever, man. It was from like 1950. You know, they were playing the Honeymooners on it. We just took it over the weekend, and I posted it, and I'm like, this is what it was all about. You know, unfortunately, back in the day, people used to, you know, having a TV was a thing of status. One family in the whole neighborhood had the TV. Everybody was jealous of that fucking family. All right, not much has changed, but now everybody in the world, everybody has at least three TVs in their fucking house, and the only time somebody gets jealous is when their neighbor has an 80-inch TV while they have a fucking 50-inch TV, and they're fucking bent out of shape. People suck. Everybody has a stick up their ass. Everybody's trying to one-up. You know what? If I want to let my fucking kid drive 120 miles per hour, and, you know, and I'm with them, you know what? That's my fucking business. You got something
God
to say?
God bless you, brother. I hate people.
I hate people.
I agree with you.
That get involved with other people's shit. Listen, man, like my neighbor said to me, oh, I can see your TV from, you know, right from the street. No, don't be looking from the street. Look at your own. Look at the other side of the street. Is it bothering you?
I agree with you, brother. That's the problem with society. You have nothing but busybodies, people involved in other people's lives. But don't get me wrong. I'm not going to stand by if I see a kid who's obviously being abused or sexually assaulted or
different.
Something like that.
Hey,
but if
that's
it's
different.
Something, no, I know, and I know you agree with that also. But if somebody wants to raise their children a certain way, this is America. Shut the fuck up. Leave them alone. Like you said. If a guy wants to teach his kid how to drive a sports car at 120 miles an hour, obviously he doesn't want anything to happen to his kid. He's going to take every precaution that he can. I see people doing a lot crazier things with their kids. I see people leaving their kids alone, leaving them to strangers
yes.
to watch. All right?
Yep.
A lot of worse things than doing something. I don't know, man. Like you said, fuck it. Fuck it all. It's all crazy.
Guys.
You know what?
Guys.
One of the craziest things
Ron,
I saw.
Ron's probably got something to say because Ron hates everybody.
I did a little research here. This man, Steve McQueen, is amazing. I got to get the book. There's a book at the Atlantic City Library called McQueen. It looked to be about 500 pages. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to read it, and I'll tell you about it. But if you go in your Wikipedia.
I'm
going
to read it.
It says the section Illness Till Death, right? In October of 1980, he flew to Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, to have an abnormal tumor removed from his liver. He went down there. The surgery was a success, but he just couldn't make it after that. He died 12 hours after the surgery at the age of 50.
Wow.
He awoke about an hour before he died and asked for his wife. And then
he woke up
an
hour before he died looking for
ice. His ashes were spread over the Pacific Ocean from off the coast of Mexico.
Wow.
Steve fucking McQueen, y'all. Now, the movie Yucatan was a movie that he actually wrote, and it was epic. It says here, Yucatan. He called it Yucatan, but it was the movie, I think it was eventually called Heist, scheduled for release in 2013, and Robert Downey Jr. and his wife did what they could to develop the movie. I don't know if it ever came out or not.
Who's it about?
Let me read the whole thing. Hold
well,
on.
Well, I don't know. I'm just kind of, is it about Chad McQueen or is it about Steve McQueen? What's it about?
It doesn't really say. Okay, all
right. Because I'm going to tell you, everything you need to know about life, right? Everything you need to know about life can be watched from watching a very small, select group of movies. One of them is The Great Escape, okay?
Yes.
Which stars Steve McQueen.
Because
those dudes were badasses. That's what The Greatest Generation was all about. I don't care what anybody says, okay? We these days, no matter what kind of shape you're in, you're fucking soft. You're soft mentally, you're soft physically, and you cannot adapt and handle the things that people were capable of handling in the 1940s or 50s. It's just quite true.
Yep.
16, 17-year-old kids were going over there to fight the Germans. Those are the people that deserve our respect, okay? And henceforth, the people that went over, not putting down our military or anything else. We still have the greatest military in the world. That's not what I'm saying, so please don't get me misconstrued. What I'm saying is the average citizen at the time were hard. They lived through depressions. They lived through hard shit, okay? That's the reason they had the intestinal fortitude to beat the Nazis. I don't necessarily know that we could do that today. If we came across a threat like the Nazis, who are trying to take over the whole world, I think 90% of kids these days would turn their – can I still have my Xbox? And would just fucking bend over and let it go. All right, so The Great Escape is a must-watch if you want to fucking grow up and be a man. Watch The Great Escape and watch The Magnificent Seven, another Steve McQueen film.
Yep, yep.
That's
exactly
what Brotherhood's about. That's dudes sticking together, and that's people making shit happen. That's good triumphing over evil and insurmountable odds. Doing the righteous thing to take care of people that were being victimized. That's fucking America, man. That's life.
And you know, not to mention, you mentioned these two of the greatest movies, two of the greatest films. And it's, you know what, they have, when it comes to being a man, like manly men, they had James Gardner, Yul Brynner, Charles Bronson.
Chuck
they
Bronson's
had,
in both, right, Brian? Hallelujah, brother. Chuck fucking Bronson.
James Colburn. You know, you're dealing with main fucking guys that knew their shit. They were tough guys, and I agree with Ed. If we had a situation where we had some lunatic and we had, like, if Nazis all over again, we would not be equipped. We would not know how to handle a machine like that. These guys were animals. They were heartless. A totally different breed, the Germans. They were mechanically bred to be soldiers at a very young age, okay? They were brainwashed with bullshit. If something like that happened now, I agree with that, our boys would just fucking grab their Xbox, bend over, and take it in the ass. And it's nothing against our service.
No, our servicemen are, and women of this country are great, all right? They're trained, they're well-trained. The problem is you don't have the pool to pull from anymore. All right. I'm not saying kids weren't scared when they went off to war during World War II. I'm not saying that. And I wasn't there, so I can't speak authoritatively about it. But I can say that if you look at, like, the pictures and the videos, those are people that were determined. They were determined. They had a fortitude. They had the ability
purpose
to go out and do things. Today, it's too easy to sit there and say, no, man, I don't want no piece of that. That's fucked up. Let me go march through the streets and protest. And I'm not saying that protest doesn't have its place, but you can't have 40% of your population that would rather protest than be called to action.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope China don't act up. Let's hope Russia don't act up. Let's hope that China and Russia don't act up together. And I know we're getting off horror and everything else today. We're supposed to keep it. But when you get me talking about people like Steve McQueen and Charles Bronson and John Wayne and all these dudes and James Garner and these dudes who were men's men, James Coburn, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Chuck Connors. We do not have the people today in Hollywood. I'll put those five guys against any five guys in Hollywood. And I'm going to tell you right now, you could throw in Vin Diesel, you could throw in The Rock. At the end of the day, those guys are coming out. Those guys are coming out.
There's very few. There's two gentlemen alive today that I respect. I'm big fans of both these actors.
Oh, here goes Jay's Jason Statham, blowy blowy
moment. No, 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 no. One guy is 89 years old. The other guy
Clint
is
Eastwood.
97. No. Clint Eastwood, yeah. He's out of the three, let's say three. He's one. Then you have, which was a man's man, is Kirk Douglas.
Oh, I like Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas was he was a guy who was like the Sylvester Stallone of his time. When I say that, he did everything, his own stunts. He worked out. He fought. He did his own. You name it, he did it. And the guy's still kicking. And my other tough guy was Sean Connery. I love Sean Connery.
You know, they showed for the call that just called in. Hold on 1 minute, I'll pick you up. Sean Connery, you know what I hate? I hate tabloids. I hate trash tabloids. On the front of one of the tabloids, I'm at the grocery store this week. I'm picking up some burgers so I can cook out of the house, whatever. They show this picture of Sean Connery, who doesn't necessarily look frail. He just looks old. Sorry, the guy's like 90 years old now. You're going to look old, all right? And they're like, Sean Connery, on his deathbed, he looks frail and weak. Yeah, well, what do you want? He's fucking 90-something years old. Of course he's going to look frail and weak. What do you think he's going to look like, Arnold Schwarzenegger? Come on. Leave the guy be. Leave him be.
You know, they're burying the fucking guy. And let me tell you something. This guy, he has been in the fucking in the movies for 60, fucking 70 years, man. And you know what? He does his own thing. He has a presence about him. To me, he's one of my favorite Bonds ever. That's how I fell in love with the guy, you know. So these asshole tabloids, they say what they say. It is what it is. And you know what? He's retired. He doesn't do too much, hasn't done much in about 10 years. You know what? He did enough in his life. He has nothing to prove to anybody. He's relaxed
he
enjoying his fucking years.
He starred in Dr. No in 1962. He was already in his 30s then. Leave the guy be. It's amazing he's still up and walking around. God bless him. At this time, picking up a caller. Caller, who we got on the phone?
Hello.
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 This is Darren. Baron Craze?
Who we got on the phone?
Baron Craze?
Yep.
Baron, what's going on,
Baron.
Buddy? We lost somebody.
Oh, shit.
I think we lost Brian Enright. Brian Enright, did we lose you? We did. We lost Brian Enright. All right, so everybody that listened in, Brian, thank you for calling in today. All look out for Cuddles. We'll have more information coming soon. At this time, I got Baron Craze on the phone. Baron, what is up, brother?
Not much. Just listening to the great conversation going on here.
Thank you, brother. How would you like to weigh in? I'm sure you're a fan of some classic tough guys. Who's your favorite?
Well, I would probably have to say, Steve McQueen was number one. And I would even have to. I would say Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, okay. Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, the old Clint Eastwood there.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, old or not, he was one bad motherfucker in Gran Torino. I got to tell you,
I love that movie.
So do I. He was like, let me tell you something. Between how his presence, how he talks, he doesn't give a shit what he says in front of these nips. Or anything like that. He was just fucking fantastic. He was classic tough guy Clint Eastwood. I mean, honestly, one of my favorite movies. I mean, everybody likes his westerns, but I like Heartbreak Ridge. I thought he was great. I thought he was funny, and he was tough as nails. But I love Gran Torino, man.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I have to agree. Absolutely. So, Baron. I see, as always, we have Baron Craze on the line, and I got to tell you, Baron's Crypt and Shredding Metal Beast are two pretty awesome fucking shows you have on. Would you like
Fuck
to tell
yeah.
anybody on the air about them?
Yeah, they're, the Shredding Metal Beast is the 120 minutes of metal. I constantly get bands every week, about 20 a week, that want to be on the show. And, so that thing's just on a rail by itself. I got about 5,000 songs. I got permission to play. I've got all these labels that want the music played. So it's a real fun, aggravating show at times.
Nice.
I love it.
And how about Shredding Metal Beast? I mean, I'm not sure. How about Baron's Crypt?
Look, first Shredding Metal Beast. Everybody keeps telling me I have to make it more offensive. So each week I go on that show and I just get more and more offensive to people. And they seem to enjoy it. So I have
Baron,
no problem offending people.
You got to say on your show, you got to say, there's a new game, all right? It's going to and come at towards the end of my show. This is what you have to say. Towards the end of Garnish Crypt, I am going to announce the cunt of the night. So all you cunts out there that have some beef with somebody or some beef with me or some beef with the world, you call in, air your beef out, and I'll decide if you make cunt of the night. Cunt of the crypt. You call it cunt of the crypt.
Cunt of the crypt. I think Ron likes this.
Let me tell you, that would be a highlight for some of these scumbags.
So, Ron, tell me, if you instead of going indie with it, okay, I'll address this to only Rude Ron, because I don't think anyone could actually articulate this any better than him. Who were the three biggest cunts in Hollywood and why?
Ooh.
Are we talking male or female?
Cunt does not have to be a misogynistic term. Cunt can be male or female. Has nothing to do with sexual preference or anything like that. Just a straight cunt. Who are the three biggest cunts in Hollywood?
The first one on my list, I'd have to go Leonardo. I got
really?
Go Leonardo DiCaprio. He's a cunt. He's just a cunt. He's a total piss-smacking cunt.
Wow.
I like
okay.
his work, but
yeah,
I kind of see
yeah.
where you're going. And let me put some words in Ron's mouth here. I would say he's one of these guys who's a champion of, like, the eco-friendly. This is our Earth Day segment, by the way. So Leonardo DiCaprio. So he's one of these real earthy guys. But I don't know it for a fact. I think he probably would think nothing of flying in a private plane somewhere, blowing tons and tons of gas to go hang out on his – if not thinking of some private island or something, right?
Yep.
I would
okay,
say
so.
So.
How much
let's
gas
not forget
does it take?
Let's not forget he drives a $350,000 Fisker Karma fucking electric car. So this guy isn't exactly not blowing money. He's just a cunt.
All right, two more. Give
he's
me two more.
George Clooney.
Okay.
Because he's
I'm a fan of his sex parties.
I did meet him once, and he was a very nice. I got to tell you, very nice, personable guy. Very nice to everybody around him, too. So I haven't seen that side of him, but I did hear he could be difficult at times, and maybe I just caught him on a good night, but when I met him, very nice guy. He was very nice and open and friendly with everybody. But go ahead.
I also met him once years ago, too, when they shot in Atlantic City. They were on the set of Ocean's 11. He was very nice. Him and Bernie Mac, both very nice guys.
Bernie Mac,
but
I heard, was a great guy. Rest his soul.
Yeah, he was a good dude. Yeah, I actually, funny story, I actually snuck on that set. I shouldn't have been there.
I shouldn't have been there.
I shouldn't have been there.
I shouldn't have been there. I ended up in the back of a squad. Great.
Yeah, no, I absolutely shouldn't have been there. No, I shouldn't have been there. Absolutely no way, shape, or
form.
I'm going
to have to say
man.
That Angelina Jolie is my third cunt of Hollywood.
I would have to agree. I would have to agree. And once again, not to put words in your mouth, but I don't fucking get her and Brad Pitt's deal, man. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Although I said that to somebody, and then my friend of mine said that she could probably deep throat your foot, and then that probably sold me all that, which is why he fucking went and married the cunt.
I don't really understand about her. And when I say I don't understand about them, like, I can only go by what I hear. Right, and I actually heard interviews where, like, I think it was Robert, the real famous writer. He did Pulp Fiction, he did Reservoir Dogs.
Quentin Tarantino.
Where, like, he would say he would go to, like, France and smoke hash with, like, Brad Pitt, and, like, you know, just like, what the fuck, man? You're a grown ass man. What are you, like, smoking hash out of, like, a fucking soda can for? I just don't get it. But I'm sorry, I cut you off, Jay. Go ahead.
I have two cunts. One is going to be, you know what, and I thought maybe he might be a cunt, but then it was clarified, is Russell Crowe, and I'm going to tell you why. And I like Russell
Crowe.
Yeah, Crowe
a cunt.
I like him as an actor, but you know what he did to, what's her name, Juliana Rasic for Ani Entertainment?
What did he do?
You know who I'm talking about. She's married to Bill Rancic. They, you know, Juliana and Bill, they had that TV show.
Yeah, they had a TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Juliana Rancic is her name?
Yeah, she's on. She was on Fashion Police with Joan Rivers and all those guys. But anyway, she's thin girl, very nice girl. Met her too, very sweet, very nice. But she went. He was coming on. And you know how she works for E, and she had to interview, you know, different actors. And she said, I was a little nervous, and I asked him a question, and I stumbled on the question, and he just looked at her. He said, second question. She answered the second question. He didn't like it. He says, 1, 2, put his fingers up, 1, 2, you're through. Turned around and walked away.
Hmm.
Now, that is a cocksucker, somebody who, honestly, you're there, people are there supporting your movies, you have a woman who is famous in her own right, everybody kind of pretty much knows her, and she's talked to you about your movies, she was excited for the first time because she was a big fan of yours and said, I was a huge fan of his, and I always had a thing for him growing up, and here I got to interview him, and I did stumble over my first question. He said, 2. Put the second finger up, and he didn't like the second question, didn't answer it, and looked at her and said, 1, 2, you're through. Turned around and walked away.
Wow. See, I don't want to confuse being a cunt or being a jerk off with being like a fucking idiot. He comes off to me like a guy who, I don't know which of the three he is. I mean, I've heard him speak. He sounds like a fairly intelligent guy, but I don't know. I think he has some serious
issues.
Now,
hold on. I have some inside information.
I'll tell you something really quick. Really,
hold on. I got inside information.
Trust me. Let me just say one thing.
Inside information.
One thing. He had a band about 10 years ago, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And he played at the Stone Pony about 13, 14 years ago. All right? It was right after the fucking Gladiator sensation in 2000. He played at the Stone Pony. Are you there?
Yeah. Who are we talking about?
Russell Crowe. He
Russell
has his
Crowe.
Band.
Russell Cunt.
Russell Cunt. And
oh,
I
wait
went,
a second.
I,
you want to hear something funny, bro? The entire time
there.
You guys have been talking about Russell Crowe? I wasn't even thinking about Russell Crowe. I was thinking of that English guy who was married to Katy Perry. What's his name?
Oh, Russell Bland or something like that. No,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Russell.
Bro, that's
Russell,
who I saw in my head. You know what? Now
no.
I'm on your side. Russell Crowe seems like a total fucking flaming jerk off. But go ahead.
I went to the Stone Pony. I from my bouncing years, I knew the owners. I knew plenty of bouncers, so I pretty much could get into any club on this side of the Jersey Shore pretty easily. So I call up my buddy. I said, "Listen, Russell Crowe's having his fucking band, and I want to go see." I said, "What can you do for me?" And he said, "He says your name's on the list. You come in. I'll walk in. You're right up front. Blah blah blah." I go there. Russell Crowe has his hair up like fucking like the lead singer from Stray Cats. He starts singing. Somebody boom. He starts fucking talking shit to the fucking crowd. Like you're fucking losers here and all this shit. Like you guys are a bunch of fucking assholes. I came here to do you guys a favor type of shit. And I'm thinking, wow, he's a fucking asshole. I still like his films, but a cocksucker. But he
Listen,
not
I just
only
gotta
is
say, the, Cinderella Man's one of the greatest films ever made.
Excellent.
That
film,
movie fucking sucked.
Cinderella Man sucked.
Cinderella Man was fucking dumb. First of all, the son of the actual Cinderella Man hated the movie, and secondly, the fucking movie was dumb because it was fucking pointless. Fuck that dumbass
really
movie, bro.
As a classic.
No, it was not.
Fan.
It was fucking dumb. It was fucking.
It was a great movie.
Who's the other
cut?
Yeah.
I'm still gonna say Cinderella Man was a good fucking movie.
Yeah,
you
it
know,
was one of the greatest movies ever made, I'll say that. Fuck that.
Okay, maybe I'm over, but I'm going to tell you, it was a really fucking good movie.
You know what I'm thinking about now? Another actor that I always liked that nobody talks about, and he was in a lot of movies, and he's old now, but he played Ming, Max von Sydow. I always liked him as an actor. I thought he was a solid actor.
Me too. I don't think he qualifies for Cunt of the Week.
No. I'm just saying, of actors that we do like, but Cunt of the Week is definitely. Oh, I had two guys, Russell Crowe, and I'm not going to say why or my source, but I never liked this fucking guy. And then a friend of mine told me something about him.
No, don't do it. Let it go. Just let this one guy know where you're going to go with it. I know where you want to go, Kerner. Don't say it.
Are we going to see Sylvester Stallone?
No, we definitely aren't talking about that. Listen,
but if I see him...
Do not sabotage us in Hollywood, Kerner. Stop it.
I'm not going to say it, but if I see him, I am going to fucking slap him right in his teeth in front of everybody and embarrass him. Because he
you
is a
tell
fucking,
me who it is and I'll do it.
No.
We'll tell you offline.
Offline. He is a cocksucker. He is a fucking scumbag. There are people
out
there.
Are we talking Ron DePremia? Because he can kiss my ass, too.
No,
Ron
he is,
hates this guy.
No. But this guy...
No, he's talking about a major A-list entertainer that I've had a run-in with, that he's had a run-in with in our pursuits outside of filmmaking.
Yep.
We've had run-ins with a certain individual, and the guy is a flaming dick. And one day, when we have movies and we have a revenue stream coming in for making films, I will be more than happy to talk about what a flaming dick this guy is. But for
flaming
right now,
dick.
he's going to get a pass.
He's going to get a pass, but he will not get
slap
the pass.
Him when we see him, though, right?
Yes.
Of course.
But he will be labeled this week's cunt of the week.
Okay.
We'll go no further than to say that he is originally a Jersey boy.
Yes.
And I'll tell you the rest offline, bro.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Bruce Willis, right? We're not talking Bruce Willis, right?
No.
I'm not talking anyone. I'll just say he's an A-list entertainer, and he has ties to New Jersey, and he's a fucking flaming dick. I'm not giving any names.
I want to hear Baron Crazes to cunts.
And no.
Baron doesn't have to answer. I'm not even giving you my cunt of the week because you guys are trying to sabotage a motherfucker, and I ain't having it. I ain't having it on our show. By the way, thank you for listening to the House of Armageddon. We have 27 minutes and 47 seconds left. At this time, the House of Armageddon does not. Everything we say is purely conjecture, and we love everybody. So, Baron.
Yes.
All right, brother. These guys are losing their fucking minds. I need you to help me keep some sanity. So,
let's talk horror.
Who are your three least favorite? We're going to get away from cunt of the week, jerk off of the week, flaming dick of the week. Who are your three least favorite actors in Hollywood? It could be all time. It doesn't even have to be today.
Least favorites. Mel Gibson.
Total cunt.
Really? Well, I like Mel Gibson.
I like his movies. I don't like him as a person.
Well said.
And that's true with a lot of films with me. I mean, I like the movie, but I won't like the actor themselves. So it's an up and down thing when you watch certain movies. You just try to watch the movie for its integrity and its artistic pleasure rather than, okay, I don't like this actor, but he's in the film, so there's nothing I can do about it. So that's how I really handle a lot of things. So Mel Gibson's is number one. Number two... that I dislike, I'd have to say, and it's going to sound really bad to some people, but, Christian Bale, I don't know, I haven't made up my mind still about him. Back and forth with that type of actor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I love his work, like American Psycho and those great films. Personality-wise, not really feeling the passion for himself, what he does. And I think last one is easy. The last one's going to be real easy for everybody. Bill Cosby.
I got to tell you, I was never on the fucking Bill Cosby America's Dad train. Was never, ever on that.
I dated a girl.
He always
came
off as a pretentious jerk off. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's the way he always seemed to me, whether he was doing interviews or whatever else. And he's also another one that I've had some first-hand experience with outside of our pursuits of filmmaking, which I'll share with you guys offline.
Yep. But he always came off
as a jerk off to me.
Look, I always heard that Bill Cosby, people would go up to him and get an autograph. He would be so rude and mean to them just to get the autograph. I mean, he was just that kind of person that you just couldn't get the autograph. He just was very rude and mean. Well, like on the, and you would say, wow, on television, he plays the nice doctor and all that kind of comedy. But in real life, he's just nasty. It always seems to be the way for autographs in different people. They act one way in the kind of public eye on television, whatever it may be, and then behind the scenes, they're completely opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. I dated a girl who went to Muhlenbrink University in Pennsylvania. Bill Cosby was the guest during the graduation, and he was actually there, you know, handing out diplomas. And we're talking about 20 years ago. This was 20 years ago. And I was there, and he was so, when I say so off-putting, that it was so noticeable, everybody saw it. When it came to the white students, he didn't even shake my girlfriend's hand at the time, but any black student he came, he made sure that he told them, you know, this is your opportunity to shine. You've done well here, son, or dear, or whether it was a male or female, colored. And he really showed his race card. And he showed it, and everybody there saw it, and everybody was put off by him. I was fucking disgusted because, number one, I never liked the guy anyway. And number two, I was at the time, you know, in love with my girlfriend, and you hand a diploma and he didn't shake her hand in front of everybody. That's fucking off. That's fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know I can't speak of anything like that because I wasn't there and I didn't see it. But I will say that he just always came off as a pretentious jerk off to me. From what I've observed. And you know what? If you don't want to be observed that way, you know, actions speak louder than words. All right. So who do you think are some of the nicest people in Hollywood? And once again, this is only through the court of public opinion. This is through what's seen on TV and what's seen in interviews. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
James McAvoy, one of the very nice guys.
Okay.
James McAvoy. He's, you know why? He's young. He's only been acting for about fucking 12, 15 years. All right. He's not been doing it for 30 years, and he's fucking got, you know, really tainted by it. He's, you know, he's a little bit younger, about your age. He's in his 30s, Ed. You know, but nice guy. Not afraid to fucking sign an autograph, not afraid to shake somebody's hand. And
you know what,
though?
We're way off base. You know what? Because nobody gives a fuck who's a nice guy. You know what people want to know about? Rude Ron.
What?
What the fuck is happening to Aaron Hernandez right now?
What do you mean, what's happening to Aaron? He's going to be getting a dick up his ass in prison. What do you mean? He's going to be running a post route up a big black dick in fucking jail. What do you mean, what's happening to him? Get the book.
He won't be
a
tight end anymore.
Yeah. Nah, he'll be a free safety.
Well, listen, I'm just going to say one thing. I fucking hate the Patriots. Although I did cheer for them this year because I hate Seahawks more than the Patriots. And let's be quite truthful. I had very selfish motivation for wanting Tom Brady to win another Super Bowl. Because this way, being a New York Giants fan, there'll always be that, when he goes down as the greatest quarterback that ever lived, there'll always be that asterisk next to his name that says, but he could never beat the Giants in the Super Bowl. So
I just want to say to all listeners out there, we had over 30,000, but now since Ed has, you know, spilt the beans about being a Giants fan, we went down to 300 fans.
We really have like 30,000 fucking listeners at one time. Dude, now we're lucky if we get like 100 on a night. Only because, there's only one reason, it's because we don't consistently do our show. When we were consistently doing our show, we were kicking ass. Baron, are you experiencing the same thing? When we had the tie-in with the AM radio station and the guys from now Left and Right show, but previously B-Movies Radio, you saw more of an increase back then because we had a better lead-in with the AM audience. Were you experiencing that too?
Yes, I do. I promote the Baron's Crypt heavily. You guys know this one. On Friday nights, I do everything I can. But it struggles. It's usually I have to retweet the show a lot to get the numbers up, and then it generates into the next week and so forth. But it just takes a long time to carry over the number.
Yeah. I think what we need to look at, and while I have you guys on the phone, let's talk some business. I think what would really help us here, and anybody that's listening at home or listening right now that likes the show or likes the bracket of shows that we do here with the horror scene, we got 3 or 4 shows we do. I know Brian's going to be doing a show, and I think we need to format it with a website, and I think we need to have blocks of entertainment put on the website by all different shows, and maybe we need to go out and enlist other radio people to fill in the blanks of what we have. And then get some kind of an AM or FM radio component, not necessarily to broadcast all of our shows, because let's be quite truthful, we drop the F-bomb way too much, and, Ron can't say cheerful things like Aaron Hernandez is going to be running the post route on a big black cock. I don't think we can get away with that on AM radio. So I think what we need to do is find like an AM FM radio station where we do like an hour broadcast, kind of like we had with 1470 AM, to use as a lead-in to our shows. So I think we're going to look at that and discuss that in the future. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm down. You know I'm down. I'm down for whatever, whenever.
Yeah, all right. So everybody that's listening, here we are on the House of Armageddon. We have 18 minutes left in our broadcast. 70 minutes went by just like that, like fucking the next 50 years of Aaron Hernandez's life behind jail, behind bars. And let me just say something, okay? Going out and murdering people and killing people and just being a thug piece of shit, and let's be quite truthful, thug has nothing to do with race or financial background. It's a state of mind. I've seen a lot of rich kids that want to live a fucking thug lifestyle and want to go out there and rape and murder people and act like they're fucking street or act like they're hard and get caught up in these crazy things. You wind up in jail for the rest of your life because you go out and knowingly murder someone. I'm not saying kill someone in self-defense or do what you have to do to protect your family or protect yourself, but you knowingly go out there and murder somebody. You're a piece of shit, and I don't even think you should be put in jail for the rest of your life. We should just execute individuals like this. That's my feeling, and I don't know, man. Anybody have any feeling on this?
I think execution is too good for somebody like him. I think people that do what he did, and he want the people who want to be the thugs and the tough guys, I think they need to be taught a lesson to the point where either they're handicapped one way or another, and they have to live the rest of their life knowing why they are. What they did is why they are is because of what they did, and they have to live with that. I think death is too easy, and it's over and forgotten in their life. And tell you the truth, man, you want to know some hard guys? I know plenty of hard guys, especially the old school guys. And these punks nowadays, these people, even Justin Bieber, who has to fucking slap somebody.
How did Justin Bieber get into this?
No, the reason why is because he's always, doing the whole thug and shaking his pants and trying to be a wannabe, this and that. And not for nothing, this fucking guy, somebody didn't like his song, he slapped, he hits him. Come on. You're hitting him because you got 4 fucking bodyguards that are 6'5", 300 pounds each, and you know that the person's not going to get one swing off on you. To me, that's not a pussy, that's not a thug. That is just a fucking, that's an asshole waiting to get fucking slaughtered.
Hey, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Sean Penn. We were talking about how he's this do-gooder going out helping people, but we think his motivation's selfish, or at least that's what Ron thought. I really had no thought on it at all. One thing I did hear, though, is he's a badass. I heard he'll fight anybody.
He is a badass. He is a badass, and I agree with you.
I heard he'll take an ass-whooping, but he'll throw with anybody. And me, I respect that.
I respect the guy
who'll take an ass-whooping, but he'll throw down over a guy who won't. So, Baron, I'm going to put you on the spot here, brother. What do you think about the whole... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought I lost you, brother. All right, so what do you think? You unequivocally get a guy. You know he committed murder. He conspired to commit murder. There's no way he's ever going to do anything productive in society. whether or not he's making $4, $10, $20 million a year being a football player. What do you think? Does he put this guy in jail for the rest of his life, or do you just execute him?
Okay, first of all, it's real simple to get this one straight. You put him in prison, but you make it like the what prison used to be like, if you would. You know, like the Shawshank Redemption kind of thing. You know, it's you take the big boulder, you're out there all types of weather, and you have to break the big boulder into the little pebble, okay? I don't care if it hurts. I don't care if it's painful. You get a little chain. You get a little ball next to you. You make it, you know, severe. There's no more color televisions, air-conditioned prisons, none of that. You don't go there and get your goddamn, you know, doctorate and whatever. No. Game over, you don't get it. Execution of all pedophiles. They just
yep.
die immediately.
All right. I have to say I agree with that. Now, one thing is I'm all for execution if you can absolutely, you know, unequivocally
yeah.
prove that they molested or raped or killed. Because
right.
there's
it's
no fixing that. There's no coming back from that. But you're right. Where you have a situation where you have these guys that are going to be in jail for the rest of their lives, you don't put them somewhere where they're going to be watching TV, answering letters, getting fans, having emails, meeting with agents, discussing how they're going to portray themselves and their life story. The hell with all that. I like the idea, beat the big boulder with the sledgehammer for the next 60 years on Earth. Rude Ron, what say you?
Well, first of all, I think we need to bring back the guillotine. I think we need to bring back the fucking guillotine. And
the public spectacle of cutting off someone's head in front of the crowd. All right, and what do you do, like have them like kick it around like they did with Mussolini?
In order to avoid FBI kicking in our doors, I'm going to refrain from any of those formal topics of who should be in the guillotine. But we do need to bring back the guillotine for the prisoners in prison. Just cut their fucking heads off and be done with it. And
right,
I don't know why we use
execution.
Animals for testing when there's plenty of pedophiles to be using for these types of chemical testing. And when we're done with them, they should also just have their heads cut off and their bodies thrown, fed to the African crocodiles, as far as I'm concerned. At this point.
All right, good. So we're all in agreement here. I'm liking this. This is some good pro-American stuff today. There's a million people screaming right now thinking that we are the worst human beings on planet Earth. Want
to
talk about rehabilitation. You cannot rehabilitate someone who touches kids. You're never going to rehabilitate that. You're not going to fix that, not with drugs, not with therapy. You know what, more importantly, you're not going to fix the poor kid that they affected by it. And you can't bring back the loved ones that someone killed because some fucking maniac wanted to kill somebody. How about this horrible thing that I read the other day? Some, like, 10-year-old kid bludgeoned some 6-year-old kid to death. And they had
yeah.
a chance where they could have stopped it because the kid, like, and once again, I'm only getting the internet story I read. I don't really know. I'm not well versed in the actual story itself, just what I read on the internet. And sometimes the facts aren't 100%. But I think I heard shortly before this kid broke into a neighbor's house and killed a pregnant dog and its puppies.
What?
Yeah, what? Yeah, and they did nothing to, like, treat this kid. And then the kid wound up, like, stabbing or bludgeoning, like, a 6-year-old to death. There's no fixing that. I mean, it's horrible because it's a kid, but there's no fixing that. You can't fix that. You can't fix these rampage shooters, these kids that go nuts and commit atrocities against other people. There's just some people in society you cannot fix. And this whole thug epidemic where people are running around and I'm going to kill people, I'm going to do this, I'm street, I'm going to go down the back alleys, I'm going to perpetrate all kinds of violence. There's no fixing that. There's a subculture in our country that you cannot fix. Right now, see, I'm a dual-edged sword kind of person. I look at right now it seems like there's a lot of angst and anger towards police at this time. I think in some cases, deservedly so, but I think in many cases, people are jumping on the bandwagon, and I think innocent people are getting railroaded for no reason. I just think that people really need to look at and analyze each situation individually. Don't allow race to be a factor. Don't allow these things to be found. Look at the actual situation that occurred. because I really do lose all sympathy for people when they sit there and say, well, the officer was obviously a racist, he was white. We don't know that to be true. We don't know that he was a racist, wasn't a racist. You don't know what his motivation is. Worry about the actions of the individual. And I don't know, I probably talked too long about it, but I don't know, it seems like that's one of the things that's going on in society these days. And now you're going to see a lot of movies about that sort of thing because the media eats shit like that up.
Okay.
Like, you guys got all quiet at once.
No.
Well, you were, you were pounding the pavement there for a second, so we let you pound the pavement.
Away.
Wow, that was not let at all. All right, so here we go. Rude Ron, we're down to like our last 10 minutes in the show. Do you have a good alien abduction, ghost story, or anything like that for us tonight? What's our conspiracy of the week, brother? What's going on?
Well, if you guys really want to get into it, and for those who don't know, I myself... And if you have listened to the show off and on, and Baron has been on some of the shows where I've discussed this, I do dabble in the black arts. I do dabble in some forms of alchemy and some forms of symbolism, which some claim is Satanism, which is not Satanism, as if you've ever read the Satanic Bible, which was not written until 1966 by Anton, it is not. Satanism, that is a totally different thing. And I do suggest that people do
read. I do not have a great love for Anton LaVey, though.
Now,
I just want to put that out there.
I'm going into some Hollywood symbolism here. Well, I've put it out there before that I do dabble in these things, and I've had this discussion on air. I want to talk quickly about the movie Transcendence. Who saw the movie Transcendence? Did anybody?
I won't.
Where is it available?
I won't.
Where is it available? What kind of movie is it? Tell me more. I know nothing about it.
It is a Johnny Depp movie. The movie was horrible. But it was straight shadow government movie.
Okay.
And I started to think about the symbolism in some movies that have been coming out recently, including the Dark Knight, the last Batman, where it was all about the symbolism of armed police just rolling around the streets and people accepting it, or there being an issue of some kind and the police rolling around the streets and the people accepting it, kind of like the Boston Bomber type thing, although that was a totally different situation. But it seems to me that the symbolism of the shadow government in movies, including the last Transformers, has really kicked the fuck up on a whole nother level. And it's starting to get spooky. And if you see Transcendence, and even if you don't want to see it, I don't pay to see any of these fucking movies because I will not. But it's straight out of Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World. It truly is.
Armageddon.
He would turn over in his grave.
Every movie.
And George Orwell would turn over in his grave too. It's something really out of 1984. It really is.
Well, I think there's a resurgence. It seems like there's a big interest right now I don't want to say anti-government, but a not trusting your government movement. You have Occupy on the one side, you have the Tea Party on the other, and it seems like people have just lost faith in lawmakers and government and society. I mean, you say that, but there's like a lot of vocal opinions out there about it. Would you agree with that, Ron?
No, because I believe they're all controlled by the same people.
I'm talking about the people themselves.
To me, I think the whole thing is all controlled by the same people.
Okay, but I'm talking about the people themselves, the actual residents and people of the country. It seems like
there's
various
factions now.
Most
of them are all useful idiots. Most of them are all useful idiots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Baron, am I right or am I wrong here?
Well, the way I look at it, it's real simple. You got multiple, some entity, to me, out there putting all different people against each other over social issues. So as long as we keep fighting each other, we kind of miss the big picture that happens around us.
Right. And I think they're using movies now on a higher level. And like when I saw this movie, it literally felt like I was literally reading, I was watching 1984 come to life. It was straight shadow government. It was so cheap. And same thing with the last Transformers. That was like 4 hours fucking long. That was ridiculous with Mark Wahlberg. It's all about shadow governments now. That's what movies are all about.
I just remember that. The only thing I remember at the newest Transformers is that Mark Wahlberg's daughter was really hot in it. But I don't know. I hope that she was an of-age actress. I'm pretty sure she was. But I actually think she was better looking than Megan Fox. Is that her name, Megan Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who's not a bad-looking broad, I'm not going to lie.
I would give it to Megan Fox.
But she married, like, the dude from, like, 90210. What say you, Jay?
Did she really?
In the 90s, you had 90210 hair. All right, Jake.
Jake,
go to sleep, everybody.
No, I'm right here.
Hello?
Listen.
I'm
right here.
We've got 3 minutes left. That's all I know.
Before
we
get off, I want to give a quick shout-out. I want to give a quick shout-out to PARS, Paranormal Activity Research Society, who came in my house, did a bang-up job, opened my eyes and my wife's eyes to a lot of shit that's going on in our new house. You guys are the bomb. You guys are excellent. And I look forward to having you back to my house. They're over here. They go all over the coast, so all over the United States. These guys are the best. That's it. That's
my
shout-out.
I need to have you give, and I'm not going to get too much into this, but I need you to give them information for a friend of mine or a new friend of mine that actually is having some serious problems with some kind of manifestation in their house at this time. In an undisclosed location in South Jersey. I haven't really gotten too much feedback from some people that I've reached out to that I thought would be really interested in it. And I think it's something that's viable and actually should be looked at. So I'll give you the information on that. One thing, while we only have a couple minutes left that I want to talk about, what a fucking awesome time that we had on Sunday. Hang on to your shorts,
Film
Festival. Me,
excellent
Jay
time.
Kerner, Ernie O'Donnell, Scott Schiaffo. We saw Brian O'Halloran out there. Who was your friend that put that on? Was it Chris?
Yeah, Chris Cullen. He's CJ Cullen, but his name is Chris Cullen. And I've known Chris for, almost 20 years. And unfortunately, last year when he did the show, he asked me to be the host of the show last year. I had other engagements. I couldn't do it. And I'm just glad I made it this year. And he reached out to me and is very happy that we showed. And hopes we can come, to the next shows and so on. I was very proud of him. Really did a good job. I thought things moved around smoothly. Nice setup. Did it right. And I see it becoming a very well-known film festival in the upcoming years.
Yeah, it was great. They rolled out the red carpet for us, literally. Wish you guys could have been there. Baron, I suggest you come out with us next year. It was really cool. They had a horror block that was about an hour and a half long of all 7 to 20 minute horror films, some by New Jersey filmmakers. One was called Puppet Apocalypse, which our buddy Scott Schiaffo from Clerks movies was
Clerks.
In. And Ernie was one of the presenters, our buddy Ernie O'Donnell from Clerks, and Brian O'Halloran was the host of the whole event. And I just got to tell you, outstanding event. I recommend it to anybody. And so it's time for the plugs, gentlemen. We're down to the last 1 minute and 15 seconds of the show. So we'll start off with Kerner. Who do you want to plug, brother?
I want to plug Ernie O'Donnell. Not only was he in Clerks, he's also in our next film, Walking Dead Film Production, 100 Acres of Hell. And, Ernie's a great guy, and we got a lot of great people involved in this film. And just keep your eyes peeled, people. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody check out Walking Dead Films, Armageddon Ed, and, of course, Atlantic Scary, and I can't forget to mention Bizarre AC 3, www.bizarreac.com. Check it out. 3 days in October, 16th, 17th, and 18th is absolutely going to kick ass. Baron, what do you got to plug?
I just want to plug the movie Cuddles for Brian Enright, and he was
going
to give me a part in that film, so I got to give it up to him.
Brian, I'm plugging
that
too. Cuddles.
Wait, Ron, we're closing out with you, Ron. You got 19 seconds.
I just want to say hello to my sexy, beautiful future wife, Kristen Stewart, who is working on the next Snow White the Dark Twisted Side of Snow White. That sequel is coming out, so watch out.
Night, everybody. We're out.
I'm plugging it.
All right, that's show, fellas. Show's over. Baron, thanks for calling in, brother.
Wait. Who's the other actor? Who's that? Who's the actor that's the cunt?
I don't know. Let's make sure we're off the air. Hang on. So you still there? Who's still on the phone?
I am.
Okay.
Baron's here.
Yeah. Baron? Jay, you still there? Jay?
Jay hung up. What a douche.
No, I think we lost him. Something weird happened. When the show went out, he was just, like, gone. So I'll tell you offline, bro, because although it says it's not recording, I don't trust this thing.
Yeah, don't.
But let's just say you weren't far off.
Yeah, don't. All
right. Listen, you guys have a good night, all right?
All right. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. Later, Baron.
Right,
let me call in.
Hey,
Baron,
what time's your show Friday?
6:30 p.m.
6:30 Friday?
Yeah.
Is the same number that I called in for our show? Is that the same number?
Yeah, it is.
All right. I'll call in Friday.
Okay, great.
Have a good night. I'll talk to you all soon. Later. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.